Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday, October 5th, 2020, the first Monday in this new month. But we're already the 5th, Marianne.
I know,
so it's like
just jumped ahead on us.
Marching along into this new month. And we're thankful for God for Memorization Monday because mm-hmm. we look at His scripture and we glean truths or spiritual conviction. When I say conviction, I always look at it as a very positive, healthy thing. So I know there's condemnation, and that's never from God.
Yeah.
That's either from the evil one or maybe some misled people that are trying to shame you. But healthy, what I believe is Holy Spirit conviction, will always cause us to be drawn toward God or to recognize, yeah, we're frail, we're fallen, but we're not without hope because we have this Redeemer God. So I love conviction. I love when I sit under a pastor's teaching and he's declaring or proclaiming God's word, and then I recognize, gosh, I'm a sinner or I'm flawed or I need to work in that area. But then I'm kind of energized because we have this loving God that's going to equip me, and because of the work of Jesus, He's going to help me through. And so I don't feel shamed by it. I feel challenged by it. And it's like, oh, Lord, help me, you know, be more caring or intentional or less this way. And so I would hope that maybe throughout this program, if there is a point of conviction that you look towards God, and I hope that it brings you closer into that relationship. And Jason likes to say, you know, I have to lean into Jesus
because
I can't do it on my own. So I hope you don't hear condemnation.
Well, it's interesting. We use that word in two ways you just described. We say, I was convicted of sin, or we say, I was convicted that I need to go and talk to my neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, so,
we do. All right. Well, today's memory verse is actually Ephesians 2:9, but I'm going to lay a little of the context with Ephesians 2:8 and include Ephesians 2:10 because they go so well together. And we have a special guest in the studio, actually a returning guest. It was a Testimony Tuesday a month or so back, right? Pastor Brian Romanowski from the First Baptist Church of Mahomet, and we had him a few months ago, and it's fascinating to hear his stories about his missionary trips and the many different ways he's served these last 5 or so years and his calling to the First Baptist Church of Mahomet. And thank you, Pastor Brian, for coming in a little earlier. We got to pray up the program and talk about some of the things that you're dealing with your mom and this COVID-19 and uncertainty and just a transition in your life where you're going to be taking some weeks off to really care for your mom and get her relocated. And we just prayed that up. And then we talked about some of my experience about 30 years ago at a conference, and I think I talked for about a half hour straight nonstop. Listeners are aware that I could do that.
That's never happened before.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
But that Colossians book that I think we both love and that we all love, the spiritual truths in Colossians about whatever we do, work at it with all your heart,
it's
is working
scripture
for the Lord and so forth. But
you get very energized when you talk about it, Mark. Every time you talk about that subject.
It was
I love it.
Profound impact on my life a little over 30 years ago of seeing my work as a way to serve God. And that parallels a little with our verses today. So I'll begin with Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. And Joyce Menke, this past Monday, talked a little about that along with sharing some of her testimony. Well, today, Ephesians 2:9, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let me read them all in its context without stopping, and then we'll welcome you, Brian, to our broadcast, and then Marianne's going to do a reading, and then we'll have some chit-chat about these God-inspired verses. So beginning at Ephesians 2:8 through Ephesians 2:10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Great scripture.
Woohoo! All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Brian, for being available on today, the Memorization Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here again. I enjoy what you guys do through the radio program.
Thank you.
And not everyone gets invited back, so it's a good sign that you've been asked again to divide God's word and to be a part of this broadcast. And I know you said, Mark, I especially love Ephesians 2:10, so we'll pray up and see if we have you back next week. But by way of introduction to Ephesians 2:9, not by works so that no one can boast, Marianne will read from our book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan.
All right. As the Reformation began spreading over Europe, authorities in Amsterdam sought to limit its effect. When a Protestant rally was announced on an estate outside the city gates were shut to prevent people from attending. But many people swam out through the canals or escaped through small passages in the wall. Multitudes forced their way out when the gates were open to let the milkmaids into the fields for the morning milking. By 11 o'clock, the city rulers gave in, and the gates were opened for all to attend the meeting. More than 5,000 people gathered to hear Pieter Gabriel preach a four-hour sermon from Ephesians 2:8 through 9.
Now, jump in here. You might say, oh, 5,000, 4,000, you know, that's not many people. Back in those days, that's like a humongous crowd.
For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. It helped establish the Reformation in Holland. Justification by grace through faith was the rallying cry of the Reformation. But what does it mean to say we're not saved by works? It means we can never earn our way into eternal life by good deeds, mission trips, winning smiles, pleasant personalities, study habits.
Hey, Marianne, they're covering all the things that you do.
Oh, gosh. Study habits. Where was I? Worship attendance, baptism, church membership, getting along with others, volunteering at mercy centers, helping the homeless, caring for unwanted youngsters, writing checks, giving money to worthy causes, keeping the law, being a good neighbor, being a good citizen, wearing religious symbols, telling the truth, uttering mantras, performing acts of heroism, doing random acts of kindness, or giving someone our parking space. Could we build a ladder to the moon with hammer and nails? Could we tunnel through the earth with pick and shovel? Could we swim across the Pacific with mask and fins? The distance to heaven is far greater than to the moon, through the earth or across the sea. The chasm between us and God is bridged only by the cross of Christ. It is not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy that we are saved. Titus 3:5. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. And here's I think it's a hymn by Isaac Watts, a part of one. Lord, we confess our numerous faults, how great our guilt has been. Foolish and vain were all our thoughts, and all our lives were sin. 'Tis not by works of righteousness, which our own hands have done, but we are saved by sovereign grace, abounding through his Son. Raised from the dead, we live anew, and justified by grace. We shall appear in glory, too, and see our Father's face. That was by Isaac Watts. And here's a quote by John Bunyan. Indeed, this is one of the greatest mysteries in the world, namely, that a righteousness that resides with a person in heaven should justify me, a sinner on earth.
All right, Pastor Brian, help us discern.
Talk to us.
Open our eyes to these truths and the special verse of God. What's so neat about the Word of God? Being inspired, you know, being able to equip us, to help us know God better, to guide us, navigate through the day, bring healthy conviction, you know, equip us with godly insights. So I just love when pastors are able to divide God's word for us and share. Now, do you have any personal experience with Ephesians 2:9, not from works so that no one can boast? or have you just studied it many years and have an affinity towards sharing about it?
Well, I have a couple of things that it connects to me personally with. One of those things is I heard a pastor talking about this at one point, and this was long before I was a pastor, and he shared how he was asked to go to a hospital to speak to an elderly person who was at the end of their life. So he went to the hospital, and he's speaking to this person, and he didn't know if they were a Christian or not. So as the conversation went along, he asked the question, "Do you know that you're going to be in heaven?" And this elderly woman said, "Yes, I'm a good person. I've lived a good life. I know I'm going to be in heaven." And at that moment, he realized she is not a believer. She thinks that she is saved by her good works. And at that point, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and told her that we are not saved by our good works. And it's hard for people to understand that because oftentimes people almost think of it as a balance sheet, right, a ledger, where I have my debits, my sins on one side, and then I have my good works, my positive things that compensate for those sins that I've committed.
True.
And oftentimes people don't realistically look at that balance sheet. They don't look at the sins that they commit. And so we get this false sense of, well, I'm a good person. I know I'm going to go to heaven because I haven't really done anything that bad. But when we look at God's Word and we compare God's Word to our lives, God's Word is pretty plain about the fact that there are things that we don't recognize in ourselves sometimes that are sinful, that are not good, that are not holy, that are a debit on our account. And when we add those up realistically, our debit is way overdrawn on those good things that we put into that account. And so we have to look at this from that realistic standpoint that we cannot save ourselves by our good works. And that verse that comes right before it, that we are saved by faith in Jesus. There is nothing else that will save us. We can't do enough good works to compensate for the wrongs that we've done.
We can't fix that balance sheet.
Correct. And the fact that we're approaching a holy, sinless God. So even if we've just lied one time, there's a stain on us. And so even if, we've never murdered anyone, maybe we've not stolen or done a variety of different things that we'd call sin, we're still not perfect. There was only one perfect person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should have no expectations to be in the presence of a holy God because we're flawed. We're fallen. Isn't that definition of sin like an archery term or something where you miss the mark? We've all missed the mark.
Correct.
Well, I think that also there's a misunderstanding about the actual state of the human race, a race that was created good and in God's presence and has fallen. And the smallest thing that we call the, quote, smallest thing is something that has alienated us from that holiness.
I have a person I know really well, and he likes to tell me every once in a while, you're a really good man, Brian. And it's easy to take that in and say, wow, I feel good about myself. But I try to remind myself, I am not a good man. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And so the only one who is good is God. And without Jesus' sacrifice, we can never be good enough. I like the fact that they talked about building a ladder all the way to the moon.
Yeah.
We cannot build a ladder to heaven by our good works. The only way we'll get there is by Jesus and his death on the cross.
You know, I kind of think, I could be wrong here, but I kind of think that that phrase that people say to each other, like, oh, you're a really good person, I think that's the hallmark phrase we should all watch for. No, don't allow people to talk that way to you, because that is taking a glory. It's why the angels, when they appear to people and people start to worship them, oh, you're so magnificent, first thing out of their mouth is, no, don't worship me. They point to God.
Yeah, I think it was Peter or Paul, when the people are seeing them a part of a miracle healing or something, and people start falling down and bowing, like, you're like Zeus or whatever.
Right.
He says, no. I am fallen like you. And there's an illustration that's given, like a man's on a pier, and you have the whole ocean before you, and, you know, just say Europe's on the other side of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so the guy does a running leap from the ground onto the pier to try to leap the whole ocean. That's like the vastness of our sin, and God's on the other side. Yeah, he might get out 10 feet, 12 feet. Maybe supernaturally he can leap 20 feet, but he's still not going to make it to the other side. And that's the same with our sin. If there's such a vast chasm between us and God that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bridge that chasm. And Pastor Jason and I, a friend of yours too, Pastor Jason Schiffo, last Friday we talked about it's all about the cross.
It is.
We have to constantly remind ourselves it's because of what Jesus did, his shed blood for us on the cross, that we can have that relationship with God.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said, Pastor Brian, that when people say to us, oh, you're so good, or this or that, you know, our first reaction should be, to the glory of God. Any good you see in me, that's God.
Yeah. Whatever you do, in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, this verse today, not by works so that no one can boast. So, Pastor Brian, do you think that then we should just not do any works?
Well,
that's the next verse.
Yeah. Context is important, and especially important here. You know, these three verses go together, and Paul wrote them together for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, works don't save us, but that doesn't negate the fact that we should have good works. And so this idea that we can be saved, get our fire insurance so that we're not going to hell, and then do whatever we want for the rest of our life is simply not true.
It's nowhere in the Bible.
No, especially not here, because Paul in this next verse tells us that, yes, we should indeed have good works, that we were created specifically to do them by God.
Mm-hmm. So maybe next Monday on Memorization Monday, we'll look at Ephesians 2:10, which does state, for we are God's workmanship, which is a fascinating concept.
Yes, it is.
We are God's workmanship. He created us. He designed us. He has plans and purposes for our lives. It's an awesome truth that we all need to take to heart often and dwell on it, think about it. But even more, created in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a powerful statement.
Yes, it is.
To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there are things that God's, I won't say he's counting on us, but he's really wanting us.
I think he might be, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he couldn't do things himself. He says he can. He says in the Old Testament, my arm is not shortened. I couldn't find a single person to help me. but he is counting on us.
Yeah, he's preparing these for us to do. And so we'll talk a little more about this coming week. If we can have you back, Brian, for next week's Memorization Monday to look at Ephesians 2:10.
I think I can manage that, and I appreciate the offer to do this again.
Good.
But I want to jump back to the work side of it, because you've done a lot of works for God. You've been on a number of mission trips. And isn't the outgrowth or our desire to do works for God because we've experienced his love and his compassion and his care for us? So we're kind of motivated to serve or to do things to please him, not to earn his delight, but to show how delighted we are in him. I mean, help us think that through. Why do we do good works then?
So my perspective has always been that Jesus calls me to follow him. Mm-hmm. And I look at the examples of the gospel of what he did. He was out there ministering to the needs of people. He was helping people that were hurting. He was healing the sick. He was feeding the hungry. He was doing all those things that we as Christians should do in our following of him. Mm-hmm. So when I think about my faith, I think about what I do in life, I want to be a reflection of Jesus to the world around me. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to do that, I need to be doing the things that he did, loving people, caring for their needs so that they can see him in me. Not that they see me, that they see Jesus in me. And this is where I think Paul, talking about the boasting part of works in 2:9, really gets to the heart of what happens oftentimes. We do good works, we feel good about ourselves, and we like to tell people about what we've been doing, but that's not what we're called to do.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's so easy to be encouraged by others boasting about us. Oh, Marianne's this, she's involved in this, she has a prayer ministry, she's on the radio, oh, she's a great author. And maybe to some degree, it's okay to have proper self-esteem and appreciation to God for giving you the gifts and the abilities. But maybe when we start relying on it, or whether they say we're reading our own press or something, when suddenly we start
inflating. Believing your own PR.
Yeah, that's right. Well, inflating our own sense of value and not recognizing that every gift that's been given to us is a gift from God, or the mere fact that we can even breathe, He's given us the life, the fact that we have any talents or we can persevere. We can't claim that in and of ourselves. God has maybe wired us to persevere. I mean, the final analysis, we can't really take, at least in my mind, we can't take credit for anything because God created us. And so if we have any abilities, He gave them to us.
Absolutely. Yes. And for each of those things you mentioned about me, I could say for sure that if everyone knew the backstory of every single one of those things, they would say, wow, praise God. Look what He did to flow this through that. Because it wasn't just, I just naturally am so wonderful about this or that anymore. Yeah. You wouldn't say that about yourself.
Right. I think Steve.
It's God's energy and power and grace.
Yeah, I think Steve Brown says it many times. He has a program that many of you hear on our broadcast.
Yeah.
But he'll say, if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't tune in and listen to me. You know. And he said, I'm fallen and flawed like all of you, but I do know the Redeemer. I do know the transformational work that God did on my behalf, and I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that I've invited Jesus into my heart and the Holy Spirit equips me day in and day out to follow Jesus. He said, I can't even take credit for my faith because it was also a gift from God.
You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you're familiar with Brennan Manning, the author and speaker.
Yes.
If you ever have heard him speak, I have heard him a few times, and people will start to clap at the end, and he will literally turn his back to the audience and raise his hand to the cross at the front of the church and lift both hands and just lift them up to God. Every piece of that applause, every piece of that praise is going through that man straight up. I love it.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, that's that glory to God.
Absolutely.
You know, those that
absolutely. Glory to God.
Want to always deflect or something. Like,
oh, it just goes straight to God,
him.
In
yes.
my opinion.
Amen. May that be true of all of us today, that God receives the glory through any credit or any abilities or anything that's accomplished in our name or in the name of anyone, that God is glorified.
Absolutely.
As Ephesians 2:9 says, not by works so that no one can boast. So let's not be boastful. But if we're going to boast, I think Paul says that, I boast in the Lord, something along those lines. So let's be boasters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thank God for the Holy Spirit that equips us to walk faithfully, giving God the glory in all that we do and accomplish this very day.
And all that He has done.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Brian Romanowski with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.